You're listening to The Zesty Garden on Utah Public Radio. I'm your host, Brian Earle, and I'm talking with Rob Davies, associate of the Utah Climate Center here at Utah State University, and we're discussing the Community Collaborative Rain, Hail, and Snow Network, also known as CoCoRoS. Now, I have to disclose, I am a CoCoRoS observer. I have a rain gauge officially bought from the Utah Climate Center in my backyard, and I dutifully go out and record the amount of precipitation that comes into my yard, and then I go online and enter that. Why is that so important?
Well, first of all, let me say, Brian, you do indeed dutifully do that. We look at your measurements.
Now, I don't do it so well in the winter. I will admit that.
That name, snappy as it is, CoCoRoS, we have actually sort of, is a national organization, and we are the sort of the Utah chapter of it. And we've actually sort of renamed it here at the Utah Climate Center. We call it the Utah Water Rangers, rather than having to explain CoCoRoS to everybody. But yes, that's the official name. So why is that important? It turns out that precipitation is a meteorological event that is not like temperature. So temperature, you know, if it's 80 degrees down in Salt Lake and 70 degrees up here in Logan, you can pretty much figure it's somewhere in between the two temperatures in between Logan and Salt Lake, but precipitation doesn't work that way. And to try to get an accurate accounting of all the water that falls in the state, the denser the network of observations you have, the much better it is. And so certainly the National Weather Service has observing stations all across the state, but they're not that dense. And so if the more we have, the better. And if it's two neighbors right next to each other, it's nice, but if one neighbor can't report, then maybe another one does, so we don't miss an observation in that neighborhood that particular day. But even if they do both report, it's nice to have a good check on one on the other. And you know, you don't have to live too far apart from someone to get significantly different amounts of precipitation from the same storm, particularly if it's a thunderstorm or something where it can, you know, just dump 3 inches of rain in Mendon and almost nothing here in Logan.
I've noticed that there's a spotter in Smithfield and one in North Logan, and I'm right in the middle, and our amounts can really vary. They really do. I mean, it just in one storm, it could be higher in Smithfield, and then it drops to mine and then lower in Logan. Or the reverse, or even I'll have a high amount and the guy right next to me doesn't.
Right, and that's the way precipitation works. I should say that there are actually a number of reasons to do this. And the original impetus was for getting much finer resolution measurements on heavy precipitation storms, thunderstorms that can potentially cause flooding. And it helps to have that information as soon as you can have it to get a much better sense of how intense the storm is and therefore be able to predict flooding and particularly flash flooding faster. Here in Utah, you know, and even if you're in a place where you're not so worried about that kind of a problem, it's also nice from a climatological standpoint and a hydrological standpoint to have as accurate an accounting of how much water is falling in your city or your county or even your state as possible. And like you just said, you can get wildly varying amounts from different people not so far apart. And so the denser the network of observers, the more accurate you're going to be able to account for every drop that falls. And here in Utah, of course, that's probably the primary reason for the network is to try to get as good a handle, an accurate handle as we can on how much water is falling.
So as you've looked at the information, has anything jumped out at you?
One thing you can do is each observer gets at the end of the year what's called a water year report. So that runs from October 1st through September 31st of each year. So it's nice to just see for each community get a sense of the different observers and how much water they're recording over the course of an entire year, that's for sure. I don't know that anything spectacular has ever jumped out at me at the data here in Utah. It's always fun to look at, and just you report it, and you can go in immediately, look at it on the map, and see what other people are reporting. I've seen some real dramatic examples in other places, and in particular, the very heavy rainfall events a couple of years ago in Tennessee, Nashville in particular, had a very dense network of CoCoRoS observers. And if you looked at the observations that the National Weather Service had, it showed sort of a definitely very intense thunderstorm cell that was dropping this. But the dense network of Kokoros observers were able to resolve the shape of that cell much better, and you actually found that it was two separate cells with two very intense centers of precipitation. And sort of scientifically, it's much more interesting to look at, and you get a better sense of the dynamics of what's happening inside a single large thunderstorm cell as well. That's always quite dramatic to look at.
Do we have enough spotters?
Here in Utah, no. Overall, we've got about 130 active observers. Now, not every observer reports every day. We'd like them to, but you go on vacation, or sometimes you might just forget or not be able to do it. So we get about 80 or so daily reports. But for a state the size of Utah, as you can imagine, it's just very sparse coverage. And in fact, most of our observers, we've got about 65 observers in Salt Lake County. So we need observers in other places.
So the rest of the other 15 of us are reporting for the whole state?
Well, not all of those 65 are active, but by far the most observers we have are in Salt Lake. And then after that, as you might expect, Cache County has about 20 or so observers, and Utah County 20, and Weber County roughly 20 as well. But you get out to these, to the less populated counties, and we do have active observers in all counties, but quite a number of them just have one observer. So Carbon County, Daggett County, Emory, Juab, Kane, Wayne, Sevier County, Rich, and Paiute all only just have one active observer, and we could sure use more.
So when you've got a county like Wayne County, if you've got someone in Hanksville and there's only one person for the whole county, that's a long county. And so you get all the way over to Loa and Bicknell, there's no information.
That's right. Well, there's no information from Kokoros. And
yes.
There are some additional stations from, different weather networks. But not that many. And I should say it's interesting, Kokoros observers have become a huge resource for the National Weather Service and for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, for the Department of Agriculture, who use the data for drought assessment, and they use the data for water year reporting every year. We've got such a dense network of observers. And I don't know if maybe just issuing the challenge and appealing to people's pride, but South Dakota has a third of our population or less, and they've got about six times as many observers in South Dakota as we do. So if they can do it, I think we should be able to.
Why is that?
Well, part of it, actually it's a lot of advertising. We find that every couple of years we do a recruiting push and we get a spike. And South Dakota in particular has had just a very active state climatologist who's been really aggressively recruiting observers, done a very good job with that, and perhaps better than we've been able to do in the Utah Climate Center. But it's also not quite a fair comparison. A state like South Dakota doesn't have these large swaths of land that people really can't live in like we do here in Utah. And so the population, while not evenly distributed in South Dakota, is much more evenly distributed.
Well, you're listening to The Zesty Garden. Rob Davies is an associate of the Utah Climate Center, and we're talking about the Kokoros program, or the Community Collaborative Rain, Hail, and Snow Network. And so do a recruiting pitch. Who's the average person, who do you need?
Well, this is fun. It's really it falls in a broader category that we often call citizen science. And this is where the average citizen can actually make an active and valuable contribution to important science. And it's very easy. You purchase a rain gauge. And in fact, unfortunately, we just sold our last one, but on their website.
Guess who you sold it to? Me. I bought it and gave it to my friend out in Trenton. So we've
depleted our stock, but there are a couple of other companies on the website you can buy from. But that's all it is about a $25 rain gauge. And then you need to spend just a little time picking the right place on your property to put it. It needs to be, out from underneath trees and not too close to the house and that sort of thing. And then just a little bit of time watching some videos we have online to teach you how to make precipitation measurements, both rain and snow. It's easy and it's an actual real contribution. And I think a lot of people who get started or maybe just a little bit not quite sure they want to do it, but their husband or their wife or their dad or something got it signed them up for Christmas or something, and really get into looking at the data, having a full record of the precipitation that falls at your home throughout the year, and it can actually be quite fun.
So how does someone get signed up? I'll have a link on our website, so if you go to upr.org and want to have some more information, click on programs and then go to Zesty Garden. I'll have information there. But if someone wanted to contact you directly or wanted to pick up, place an order for one of the rain gauges, how do they go about doing that?
Right. You can go to our website at the Utah Climate Center. I could give you the website, but it's easier just to Google Utah Climate Center and then follow your nose. When you get there, you will find on our main page a link to go to Coco Ross or the Utah Water Rangers. And just follow that, and you'll be kind of directed on how to sign up. It's very easy. You have to fill out a form, and you do have to give the location of your home. That's so we can very accurately locate you, because the data isn't valuable to us unless we know exactly where it's coming from. But overall, we leave you alone. We don't pester you very much.
Great. Well, I highly recommend anyone who has any interest, since I do this myself, to sign up for the Community Collaborative Rain, Hail, and Snow Network. And you can go to the Utah Climate Center or go to upr.org, and we'll have links to the program. Rob, thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much, Brian.
Rob Davies is an associate of the Utah Climate Center. Coming up next is Helen Cannon in Pedals and Prose.